The now abandoned prison on McNeil Island ran for 136 years. That means the history of the place can tell us a lot about how prisons have changed over time. In episode 3 of their podcast Forgotten Prison, KNKX reporters Simone Alisea and Paula Whistle introduce us to former McNeil inmates and guards and take us through the abandoned structures of the island. They sat down with KNKX Morning Edition host Kirsten Kendrick to talk about what they found.
In episode 3, we delve into how and why we lock people up by looking at how the penitentiary on McNeil Island changed over time and its population and what greeted them when they got there. Paula and Simone, what did you find when you pored over the records?
Well, you know, you really see what crimes were on the books just by looking at who's in prison. We went back, there are records that go way back to the beginning of the prison almost. And like in the 1890s, in 1893, I think, of all the people coming in, 90% were there for selling liquor to Indians.
Right. That surprised me when I listened to that.
Obviously, it's not a law that we have on the books anymore, but it was a law that was on the books until 1953, which I think sounds frankly ridiculous to most of us. But what it shows you is, even if you think about crime as being static, you know, murder is murder, stealing is bad, you know, whatever it is, that's just blatantly not truth. Crimes change all the time, and the reasons we lock people up change all the time.
Crimes change, laws change, the population changes, all those things going on as we go through into the 1900s and you get into prohibition and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, in the 20s and 30s, you had a lot of new laws passed cracking down on, well, mobsters, gangsters. You know, you had prohibition, but you had new narcotics laws. And at that time, the McNeil Island prison, the population doubled.
Wow.
You know, you'll see prison populations increase again getting into the 80s and 90s. So, you know, people probably remember, think about the war on drugs. In Washington State, when Washington State took over McNeil Island in the 80s, they'd also had just passed a sentencing reform law doing away with parole. Voters had enacted three strikes in the 90s. So you see sentences getting longer, which means more people are in prison.
And as this is happening, prison life is changing. How did you find that changed over time?
Well, you know, we went into a 1907 cell house. It's very dungeon-like, you know, a tiered and very dark, and it was very loud. And then we went into a 1990 cell house.
Yeah, we went into, so that's basically what you have on McNeil Island now, is you have this old 1907 cell house, and then you have these newer cell houses that were built in the 90s, and they couldn't be more different. You know, the one in the 90s, it looked like my college dorm. Like,
you said that many times when we were in it.
It really did. You know, it just these narrow rooms with doors, and the inmates had keys to their doors. You know, the cell blocks were a little more separated, so the population was a little easier to control. And they had windows. They had windows.
Tiny windows, but windows.
But windows, and they looked out onto the Sound. And so just by looking at those two places, you can see how different it was that we've treated people in prison from this sort of, all right, sit down, do your time. And then it's like, okay, let's find a sort of an easier place for you to live.
You all give us a glimpse into whether prison works, whether all of this stuff that you're talking about, the transformation, the changes that were made. And in this episode, we get examples, I think, of both extremes. The first, how maybe it didn't work, by looking at one of McNeil Island's more infamous former prisoners, Charles Manson.
Yeah, Charles Manson was on McNeil Island before the 69 murders. So for people who don't know who Charles Manson is, infamous cult leader of the Manson family. In the early 60s, he was locked up at McNeil Island for petty crimes. It was prostitution, check forgery, that kind of thing. While he was there, you learn that a lot of the stuff that he used to kind of recruit followers and manipulate people, he learned while he was on McNeil Island.
Yeah, he perfected his guitar skills. He really had, he really wanted to get into the music business. He listened to the Beatles a lot on his radio in his cell, and including Helter Skelter, which he then used kind of in his cult.
He did spend a lot of time with a psychotherapist named Leonard Shaw, who you spoke with, and he had an interesting perspective on Charles Manson.
Yeah, so Leonard Shaw was a graduate student when he was doing field work at the McNeil Island Penitentiary in the early 60s, and he met with Manson for a few months, and, you know, was pretty measured in his descriptions of him. But one thing I asked him if he ever saw Charles Manson as being irredeemable. And here's what he said.
We had interesting conversations, and he would challenge me at times, and I would challenge him at times. But when I look back on it, I'm not sure if I had any kind of a constructive impact on him at all.
On the other end of the spectrum, in this episode, we also hear from a man named Brian Funk. And what did he think about being locked up on McNeil?
Well, he had a rather, nuanced view of it, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. Brian was locked up on McNeil Island from 1997 to 2003. He was in for assault, and he did a total of 19 years in prison in Washington State. And Brian definitely has criticisms of the prison system. You know, he really thinks that inmates aren't getting enough education. He thinks that officials don't do sort of a good job of guiding people toward goals for when they get out. But the other really interesting thing about Brian is he's kind of this remarkable prison success story. He's now a wastewater treatment plant manager in Snohomish County, and he really credits the relationships he was able to build while he was locked up on McNeil Island and at these other institutions.
It's more intimate than even some people have with their own families. You know, you're living in an 8x10 cell with another man. You're living in a, fenced few acres, right? I mean, there was guards that sat there and talked to me and listened to my story. They cared about my family. There's no way I would be the man and the person I am today.
You know, hearing from Brian, I think really, really complicates our idea of what prison is and whether it works, because there are guys like Brian who go in and they're able to find what they need to turn their life around, to get out and to come out and become, by any measure, extremely successful. But then there are also so many stories of the opposite happening, of people going in and getting worse, or people going in and not getting the help they need. And so to be able to have both of those stories makes it really, really hard to wrap your head around whether this system works or doesn't work, and what on earth we could do to make it better.
All right. Great information. Thanks, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kirsten.
The third episode of Forgotten Prison is available now, and new episodes will be released weekly. Listen anytime by subscribing to your favorite podcast app. Find out more and check out KNKX's exclusive photos of McNeil Island at ForgottenPrison.org. Forgotten Prison is supported in part through a grant from Humanities Washington.